Welcome to From One Dad to Another, a podcast where I'll sit down and talk to other dads about the ups and downs of fatherhood, the ins and outs of what they've learnt through their journey, the pains that they may go through, and also the most joyous occasions. Thank you for listening. I'd love you to jump on to the Instagram from.onedadtoanother. Give us a follow, subscribe, review, anything that might help the podcast grow. Otherwise, jump on to powerstrengthvulnerability.com.au, and there's many ways on there to help out. Let's get into the show. Do you need a trusty electrician who gets the job done right the first time?
BTD Electrical and Data are the team we trust. Whether it's new wiring, data upgrades, or fixing what the last bloke stuffed up.
For first-time experience, they've done my sauna. They're professional, fast, and they treat your home with respect. No muddy boots, no half jobs.
There's a link waiting for you in the show notes, and let them know we sent you.
Thanks, BTD, for powering our homes
and this podcast.
Welcome back, listeners. It's been a little break. We've had a little break. I was had some a great time in Queensland, enjoying the sun. And we've just planned out the recordings for the next couple of weeks. So before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to inform everyone. We'll continue with our pathway of having a guest on and then recapping the episode with some topics and some conversations like today's episode will be. So today we're going to recap our last episode, which Pete will jump into in a second. But we just want to give everyone the rundown and also just let everyone know that we have got another partner on board, HG Legal, and we'll be definitely getting a discount code for any dads, mums that want to get their wills sorted, which I think is a good topic. So Pete and I are going to come up with a great intro at some stage for that as well. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks, Shane.
Welcome to your own podcast. That's a bit rude.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's been a while, though. We haven't recorded for a little bit, so it's nice to be back talking and doing what we like doing. So, but firstly, how was your holiday?
Oh, mate, that's a podcast in itself. So those don't know, we decided to drive to Queensland from Geelong, which is, it was 19 and a half hours in the car to and fro. We did two stopovers, sleeps on the way up, three on the way back. We've got a 4-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 6-month-old. So it was challenging, but as I said to, I spoke to a couple of mates who were dads in the last couple of weeks, and they're just like, well, last week, and they were just like, can't believe you did that. Like, just genuine. To shock, wouldn't enter their minds to do it. And I was like, I actually learned more about myself and probably my family than I have in a long time. Like it gave me, like it put us all in really challenging positions. And I think that's when you learn the most. And I learned a lot about me and what I need to work on and then what my kids need from me and what my wife needs from me. And you don't get that when you sort of just chips in the night a little bit. So we rode the challenges of that and then, yeah, Queensland was good. It's good to get out of the cold weather for a couple of weeks. It was so quiet at the theme parks as well. So there's no lines. Yeah, it was great. It's good to get away. But I will say going away on holidays when you're not with kids, you don't have kids, you always have the post-holiday blues. When you effectively move where you live with kids, the post-holiday blues aren't as real. It's good to get into routine, and good to get back to work. So I definitely had a good week coming back, which I usually don't do.
Nah, nice. Yes, I haven't gone anywhere, Shane. And at the moment in Inverloch, it has been pretty cold. And I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with winter. I actually don't mind the cold weather and having the fire going and that side of things. But I start work at 6:30 and generally get home about 5. So I feel like I leave in the dark and get home in the dark. Yeah. So I find this time of the year very, very depressing.
It is. And it's so isolating.
I do like when we get round to, you know, the longer days and the sort of change in season. But, yeah. Anyway, let's jump into recapping the podcast we did with Steve Carbone, or I should say Dr. Steve Carbone. A couple of key things that I took out of it was, I suppose, the just allowing yourself to be silly and probably the joy he had with being silly with not only with his own kids, but then now with Reggie, and letting yourself sort of, be silly and enjoy the moments. That was sort of one key takeaway. And then the other one was sort of around probably the pride and admiration he had for Freya and the job that Joel and Freya were doing with Reggie. You could really tell that he was kind of enjoying sitting back and watching how things were playing out. And, I thought that was sort of a real nice underlying sort of thing that through the whole discussion that it was a real, real nice thing. And this is probably more of a statement, but it was just around the work he's done over his career, more of like a thank you. Like without people doing the work that he has done in his career, we wouldn't be where we are today having these conversations. So they were sort of my key takeaways.
Yeah, and I think he probably downplayed his role in the industry a little bit as well. Like I think he was definitely before his time with a lot of the work he has done. But he also acknowledged that he made mistakes along the way because of what he didn't know. And I think that's super important as well, where a lot of people tend to be like, no, I did everything the right way. And like, it's okay to admit that you learned.
I was such a humble person.
Yeah. It was really great to sort of sit in that space with him, knowing, he's probably done a lot more than he will attest to. And, that sets us up for the future, or many people up for the future. That will be touched by him without them even, him even meeting the potential people he's helped along the journey. So, that's a good point. My one was something I've thought about a lot and I've spoken with. So I listen to these podcasts and I then go and tape them to everyone I talk to. I'm like, oh, in this last chat of the podcast, this is what came up. And I was talking about it with a client this morning who's 70 and he's got 3 kids. They live in England. He lives in Australia. And I said, we had a guest on who spoke about he thinks it's almost more challenging now for a parent than it was back for him. And I think it was really cool that was acknowledged, that maybe the challenges now are a little bit different and maybe they're a little bit harder because. And when I spoke to the client this morning, he was like, he goes, back when I was, my kids growing up, there was one computer. The kids, they fought over it, but the reality was we didn't have 5 devices. They didn't go into their room because they had a device. They had to go outside. They had to be creative. There was no other option. Whereas now kids know the other options. You can't hide it from them. Like they'll see it at different places. So they're, that reality, that acknowledgement that the challenges are extremely different, and that awareness that we now have of how we can parent better is literally everywhere, and it's so hard not to get caught up in the comparisons and the shame and the guilt. I think his acknowledgement of that, but also to acknowledge you're doing the best you can and that's okay. Like you can try and be better, but don't shame or guilt yourself around it, because it's incredibly difficult to be a parent in any generation, but one that's so in your face and prone to so much more stimulus than ever before. It's something that's, it's still really untapped. We don't know how to manage it very well.
Yeah, and I think even like he sort of touched on like him and his partner just winging it.
Yeah.
Like we don't need to know everything, and sometimes you do things as a parent and go, yeah, that probably wasn't the best way of, or the right thing to be doing, but it hasn't killed them or done, do you know what I mean? Like it's go, yeah, next time we'll probably do that a bit different, or from now forward we'll do this. But I think that sort of definitely come up in the conversation is you just do the best that you can in the situation and what you know. And obviously, like with anything, you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's like, anything you do, sport or whatever it is, you get better as time goes on. So when you like definitely a first parent, there's just so much learning, and as you said, Shane, a lot of it's about yourself.
Yeah,
and that's sort of one of the biggest, I reckon, probably one of the most confronting things about when you're first going into fatherhood is probably learning more about yourself than what you'd like to be learning about yourself. Yeah. And you're like, well, why am I reacting like this? And then you've really got to sort of allow yourself to reflect and go, yeah, okay, where's that coming from?
Yeah, I think, so for me, we spoke about Queensland and driving up there earlier, like I reacted a couple of times how I didn't want to react. And people are like, yeah, kids can be challenging. I was like, yeah, but they're just being kids. I need to go back away and work on how I'm reacting to that. It's not their responsibility not to be kids. It's my responsibility to be an adult in that situation and take and not blame myself for, because I yelled twice in the car over 3 days. I thought it was, you could look at it as pretty good, but it was at the time I was like, whoa, like this is something I want to improve on and be better at. And then it's then going away and going, what do I need to do to be better at it? Without the shame, without the guilt, and understanding like we're going to make mistakes. Like that's we're put in situations all the time we haven't handled before. We don't know how we're going to handle them. So once it's happened, acknowledge it. And the first thing I did once I was able to process was apologize. I walked back in the car. I said to Alicia, I'm really sorry. I yelled, hey, kids, Daddy shouldn't have yelled then. He shouldn't have reacted the way he did. He's really sorry. I know that may have scared you. This is why it happened, but you don't need to change. Daddy needs to do better. And I think I saw a podcast chat the other day where a guy's like, I make mistakes, but my kids will attest to, I will always apologize. And I think that's such an importance. It's not saying I will make mistakes all the time deliberately on purpose. It's life will happen. But when I slip up, I'll acknowledge that and show
it. Sets that expectation too. You know, like we are very quick to pull up our kids when they make mistakes and make them apologize for, you know, maybe how they're behaving. It's no different to us. So if we can role model how that looks in our house, you're leading by example.
Yeah.
So it really sets that clear expectation. You know, yep, I've stuffed up. I've got to own this and apologize.
It's really hard in the fast-paced world we live in to be able to slow down, and that's effectively one of the lessons I took from the podcast but also my trip away is, like, we just need to slow down. Like, if we bump, let's say, this is that example, if we bump our kid and it hurts them accidentally, don't be like, come, mate, you'll be right, and rush out the door. Hey, mate, are you okay? Where are you hurt? Is there anything I can do to help you? I just want to check in, because then when they accidentally hurt their sibling or their sibling's in tears, they're more inclined to do it rather than just laugh. And it's your ability to slow down in a really challenging moment allows them to see that and time again. And yeah, for us, it was, you know, there's a lot going on in our family world at the moment, which is probably for another podcast, another stage as well. But it's really good to be able to reflect on your parenting as often as you can and know what work you can do and potentially slow down as well. I think that it comes back to winging it a bit. We're all winging it because we're all making decisions every day which just come from within us somewhere, and then we're like, whoa, but that's the opportunity when you have those moments. So
yep. But yeah, if anyone hasn't listened to the podcast with Steve, it was a great podcast. And yeah, it's definitely well worth a listen.
My turn for a topic. Well, the topic last time was exercise. I'm gonna smile as I ask, how's the challenge been for you?
Well, as I mentioned before about my love hate with winter, I sort of reluctantly said, "Yep, I'm gonna try and do this in the morning." I don't think I've been out for a walk since we put the challenge out. I set my alarm, and if the exercise was pushing the snooze button, I succeeded really well. but it wasn't. It was actually to get out of bed and go for a walk, and I haven't done it. I've still been doing my normal exercise with football training and playing footy, but my hope was to try and do some more sort of core work and walking. But, yeah, just at the moment with my work pattern the way it is, and when I roll home, I'm pretty much rolling into tea, house, bath, bed, and then I get to about my sort of after bed, which with Lacey, who knows when that's going to be, I then sort of have a cuppa and go to bed myself. Yeah. So that's pretty much my days at the moment. But I am still working on this, and like probably most of the challenges that we sort of give ourselves, it's about trying to make those shifts in your life that you know that are good for you and put you in a better space. And a while ago, my work was a bit different, and I was walking every morning with the dog, and it was really good for me, not only from a physical but for my mental health. So I haven't pushed it away completely, but at the moment with it being daylight hours, it's very dark to very dark when I'm around it. I haven't got to it, but how is yours going? Because I know you were right into it, and I'm hoping you've done a lot better than me.
Look, not to shame you at all.
Oh, I'm feeling the heat already.
I would say I'm about 70% strike rate outside of being on holiday. Going into the holiday, didn't miss a day. Since the holiday, I thought it was going to be more difficult for me than it was. But because I've tied in the walk in the morning with breakfast, and when I was away, I kept the same breakfast the whole time. So I just effectively need to get up a bit earlier. So Monday, Tuesday this week, up, walked. Wednesday, ran. It was raining. It was cold, and so I couldn't feel my hands at the end of it. But that was I actually felt so proud of just being able to step into that really uncomfortable space. The last two mornings I haven't, but I've actually worked at 6 o'clock on that client, and we've had, as you're aware and people on my social media are aware, we had a really challenging night with our kids. And then last night, so this will obviously get released a couple of weeks later, but last night I now sleeping on in my son's room on a cot mattress. So with life, and as you explained, and why there isn't genuinely no shame or judgment to you, is different circumstances call for different lifestyles. Hugh on Carlberg speaks about it. Brené Brown speaks about it. There's different seasons. We've got to understand our seasons sometimes. And you've got to do what's helpful, but you've also got to do what's not completely overwhelming.
And enjoy the season that you're in a bit. Hugh Van Collenberg does speak about it really well, that we always want to be in the next season and sometimes miss out on being present in the season that we're actually in, because all we want to be is in the next season. And then when we get to that season, we're like, I want to be in the next one. So it is a real point where you go, well, it is what it is a bit, and I need to be present in this one that I'm in.
Yeah. And that's the 5 a.m. wake-ups. Like, I've got clients who are like, I want to do that. And I was like, no, it's not actually helpful for you. Like, I think it's going to take away from you. Like, I go to bed with my son at 7:30. So 5 o'clock's not actually that early. Like, I'm still getting 9 hours sleep. It's just on the nights where that gets completely thrown out, where you've got to look at it and go, is it actually helpful, healthy to do it? I might not feel as good throughout the day without it, but I also am not going to crash and burn out. So, the challenge for me, I would say, is
balance.
Yeah, it's really successful. But that might change as life changes as well. I thought it was going to change, but there was some changes in our household, so I thought it was going to have to change, and I was going to have to do it at night before bed, but being able to do it in the morning still, which is my preference. So,
well done, mate. Well done.
Thank you. That's me. So my topic, I've actually got a couple. So which one I'm going to go with this week?
Anticipation is killing.
I'm just holding you out because, like, you would do this snooze button in the morning.
I'm not going to live that down, am I?
No. How has your relationship with your partner changed since you've had kids? There might not even be a challenge at the end of this one, but let's see where the conversation goes.
I like the topic.
I probably should have given you time to think about this one, but we're going off the fly.
We are going off the fly, and I think you really wanted to build the anticipation to catch me out. So my epic fail in the challenge in the previous conversation, now we're going to roll into this one. It has changed a lot, and I think we've spoken about it before around, and it's something I need to get better at, is carving out time for just us. You know, once you have kids, you do, like, they become everything in your world, and you sort of do forget about the relationship that you do have with your partner. And probably one point, yeah, carving out time to spend and do things together. And probably another bit, just acknowledging the amount of work that they do in your life as well.
Yeah.
Two things that I need to probably get better at.
There's a challenge. And
things that have changed our relationship since having kids.
Yeah.
What about you, Shane?
Well, the topic came because randomly I was on Google Drive adjusting all of our podcast stuff, which you probably haven't looked at still.
That's a shame getting thrown my way today.
See, bands is important still as it is. I came across lots of videos and photos of Alicia and I before kids and, like, the holidays we went on. And I think when you have kids, you become so consumed, you almost forget the life you had before because you're focusing on the life you have now. Well, you're in survival mode, a lot of it, effectively. So you just kind of push aside the couple you were. And it was really good to actually go through those photos and be like, I want that. And how do we contour some of that, because you can't have all of it, back into our life now? And I sat there watching the videos and the photos for like a couple of hours. There was just so many, and I was just like, this is so much fun. And I just said to Alicia, this is the stuff I want to do with you and our kids as well. Like, I don't want to just abandon them and go on a holiday, but this is the stuff I love doing with you. It was us. It's us. It's adventurous. It's just living. It's not surviving. And so our life has changed completely, but being able to reflect on it, there's some small changes we can make as a team to make that happen. But I will say, while that's the negative side of things, my love for my partner has changed completely. Like, I was speaking about it today with my clients again, and they were like, we're just chatting about life in general and what happens around the household. And they're like, so she does the inside and the outside housework. And I was like, no, I do the hedges. And I do mow the lawns, but sometimes they get a bit long. So she does them because she enjoys it. And they're like, so she does everything. And I'm like, she's pretty fucking good. I'm like, and my client's like, look, and I was like, look, I bring different things to the table as well. And like, but my love and admiration for her ability to be a mother and human being in that side of things has changed. Like, I didn't know. Probably didn't doubt it, but you know, you hope that they can be that amazing at motherhood, and that will always be different for every couple, but my feelings for her have changed dramatically as well over time. And it's, I guess, when you ship in the night, as probably all of this is, it's very hard to then communicate that with them. But like a holiday we just had and some recent challenges we've just had, it forces you to sort of come together and create a better understanding between you two and work together. And I don't think it's like fitness journeys and goals and stuff. Like, you're always striving to be better, but there's never a ceiling. You're never 100% a perfect performance. There's always work to do and lifestyle changes. And yeah, for us, it's pretty similar to you. It's like looking to improve that one-to-one time, how we can without taking away from the family dynamic. And that's a epic battle at the moment, but that's how I would say it's our relationship's changed as a couple for the good and for the workable.
Yeah, and it's trying to do, like, I know what you mean about looking back at photos. My in-laws are traveling in their caravan at the moment, and we get these, you know, where they're at. And Elise and I went around Australia in a caravan a long time ago.
Yeah.
Before kids. And we sort of say, oh, yeah, we've been there. We've done that. We've done that. We actually got out the photo album. We've been going through and nearly matching the photos that are getting sent to us in photos that we have. And, like, we've got a caravan now, and, like, in a couple of weeks we've got a little trip booked. So it's trying to bring the things that we love doing, you know, pre-kids, but involving the kids too, and giving them experiences of things that, you know, we love doing as well.
Mm.
So I think there's, like, you're never going to have what you had before kids, but if you can gel them together and pull out the things that you love to do and instill those memories and that joy in your kids, it's a win-win. So,
well, and they're the things that help us as a couple grow and connect to the point where we wanted to marry that person and have kids with them. And you kind of lose sight of those things. Like, even we used to hike a lot, and when we had one child, that was pretty easy to kind of do. You just put them in the carrier and you go. Whereas a couple of kids, it starts getting more challenging, so you don't do it. And I'm like, we just got to get back to doing it. They're going to be really challenging days. Like, there'll be challenging moments in there, but that's effectively where we built our relationship. And it's, you know, our kids are a product of us. So there's going to be some level of enjoyment for them as well.
You're frozen on me, Shane.
Oh, you're back.
Yep, I was going to say you froze on me, sorry.
Yeah. So, it's good to be able to reflect and then look at, like, I was like, oh, it's going to be expensive. We're probably going to have to, like, not work as much. But I was like, you know what? Those memories are too good. Let's just do it. One of my favorite pictures with my dad is at the beach. I don't remember it. I don't. It's just a photo, but the photo means so much to me. And they're the memories I want to, we create with our kids. And when they get old enough, they'll be able to make the decision where they want to come or go anyway. And then it's like, oh, cool. Oh, you all want to stay at home. Sweet. We'll go. We'll have our relationship time. I think it's, I reckon probably maybe a challenge is both of us in the next couple of weeks, we try and potentially have a date night with our partner.
Date night challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Let's hope I go better on this one.
Okay.
I think Elise might hold me a little bit more accountable to this one.
Yes. Well, I think we just don't tell them. I don't think Elise should all listen to this podcast. Maybe we both look at, maybe today we'll send each other, or maybe over the weekend we can both sort out time, because we'll have to get my mum to potentially come down so we can go out for a couple of hours. And as you know, there's a bit of a challenging situation going on here at the moment. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's just, especially when there's challenging situations, it's super important to understand your kids will still be okay. To
create just, that space.
Yeah, and just do it. So there's our challenge for this month.
Beautiful.
Especially right. This time of year, it's very hard to get out of the house and stuff. So to actually do something enjoyable and with your partner, what we should probably further add to that is maybe even on the date, we've got to ask three in-depth questions which provoke conversation about the other person and how they're feeling or what's going on for them and what they want.
Sounds like a plan.
You're like, oh, crap, we better do this. You can't press snooze on this one. I hope the listeners go, well, yeah, we need to, if you're already doing this, great, and to an element we probably all are doing some of it, but if you're not, maybe it's a chance to reflect and reach out for a babysitter, the kids will be okay, or reach out for a parent or partner and make that call. Our 6-month-old won't take a bottle from anyone else at the moment, so we know that'll be a challenge. So that'll be, right, whatever day it is planned, it'll be Alicia's got to feed, put down, and we've got to go after that. So it might be 8 o'clock at night, but we might be lunch thing. We've got to work that out.
You do what you need to do, don't you?
Yeah. And I think that's why it becomes so hard, is because you've got to actually plan things. You can't just walk out of the house when you leave your kids there. You've actually got to.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah, I don't, but I'm sure pictures will help me. So there's our challenge.
Cool. All right. Last but not least, what has been your dad win recently?
Yeah, so it's funny how seeds are planted throughout a podcast and you don't hear you talk about it. So those that would have seen my social media the other day know that we had a pretty much three-hour meltdown the other night. It was like nothing I've ever seen before. Our four-year-old struggles with some things, and without going into detail, it's something that's been on our minds for about 12 months, and this sort of meltdown was just, it was extreme. It was, I would say it was almost psychotic. He didn't know who we were for that period of time. He was scared any time he saw us. He ran away every time he saw us. He threw stuff at us. And then at that sort of 2:45 mark, he yelled for Alicia. He's, "Mum, mum, mum." This is at 10:10 at night. We'd done everything what we thought was right, and we'll go through those processes in the future to see what we can do to improve those situations. But from all reports, I don't think there's anything else we could have done or not done. I think we handled it pretty well. And even Alicia walked in after he called for mum, and as soon as she walked around the door, he just lost it. It was like he'd seen a ghost still. He still didn't recognize her. And then about 5 minutes later, he yelled for me, and I was like, it's going to be the same. But I'll tentatively go, yelled out, made sure he heard my voice before he saw me, and then sort of edged my way to him talking about what I was going to do next step so he didn't fear me walking. And that first hug after that three-hour meltdown of him not even recognizing us was magical. But there was a moment in the middle of it where I was just like, basically, like, Leash, can you just go? I just can't do this right now. You just need to sit near him or within that space where he can see or know you're there, your presence is there. She's like, oh, I thought you were okay. She goes, you're just managing this so well. And I was just like, it was really cool to hear that in that moment because we were both highly on edge, but didn't raise my voice, didn't. It was probably the first time the extensive of the meltdown was needed me to be calm, but there's been tantrums along the way where I'm like, mate, come on. But in this meltdown, I was able to stay in control for the full 3 hours. And when I say in control, I was still heightened at stages, but I created space when that was the case. I cried in the lounge room because it reached a point where it was so scary to see him not recognize me and be so scared of me. And like he was just throwing remotes across the room. There was no control. And yeah, for me to be able to, so it wasn't like I was just walking around happy air Larry. Like there were still upsetting moments and challenging times, but for me to be able to stay so calm and present for him, that to me was like, it's probably the proudest I've ever been as a parent, because it was probably the most challenging outside of kids being in hospital or seeing them knocked out, etc. It's probably the most challenging 3 hours of my parenting career. So yeah, that's my win. Yours?
That probably shows like the amount of work you've put into your emotional intelligence too, Shane. So like we talk about emotional intelligence on the podcast quite a bit, but it's acknowledging where you are feeling and then being able to, you know, potentially take yourself out of that situation and then go back in without changing what's happened or what's happening. So I wish I had a little clappy button on my screen to applaud you, but well done. That's a massive dad win, I think. I wish I could do the same, but I struggle with the bedtime thing. Elisa's always saying to me, like, we've come so far. So when Lacey's getting up, coming out to the lounge room for the 10th time and it's 9:30 at night and I'm snapping at her to get back to bed, Elisa's a lot more calmer than what I am in those situations. But it is challenging because, and that probably plays into why I struggle with the early morning stuff is I'm not getting to bed till, 10 o'clock at night because our bedtime routine is hours long. Mm-hmm. And well done. My dad win, I'm going to have a couple of dad wins this week.
Love that.
All this. Well, I'm at that stage and I want to acknowledge it. Bo's walking like a drunken sailor, but he's walking and he's at that moment where you walk in the door at the end of the day and he's like, he recognizes it and goes, "Hey dad," and then starts walking towards you.
Yeah.
And then when he gets his arms up and a big cuddle, and it's like a cuddle he snuggles in and like he's there for ages, like wants you to be there. And it's, I know these windows open and close, sometimes he'll grow out of doing that. So I'm actually really enjoying how cuddly and he is at the moment. So that's kind of a dad win. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
And the other one is with Lacey, and I'm having a massive battle, and this is probably going to be potentially a challenge coming up around our iPad in our house. Lacey's obsessed with it, and if you turn your back for 2 seconds, she's on it. And every time I'm walking in, pretty much snatching it off or putting it on top of the fridge, and it's a bit argy-bargy between the two of us. And I found a guy I started following on Instagram, and I think I shared a thing with you the other day, Shane, and it's trying to change like the neuroscience behind how we respond to different situations, and pretty much so your kids are learning from each of these sort of things. So the last few days I've been, instead of taking the iPad off her, I've been saying, finish what you're doing on there and you can go back on there if you put all the dishes out of the dishwasher away, or and finding things for her to do so she knows that if she does those things, there's a reward at the end of it, and that is playing on the iPad. I'm not sure if it's going to get my iPad time down, and I'm still working on that for her, but I think it's better than me getting cranky and not really giving her a reason why I'm taking the iPad off her.
Yeah. I love the thing you shared, and a lot of research shows now that when you say no or stop, they don't understand. They just see it as a discipline, and so it's about explaining it, and it's really hard to go.
Well, and comments like, because I say so.
Yeah, because it's not good for you. Like, it's like for them, it means nothing, and it's just enforcing fear. And there's a lot of stuff that I've been doing with our situation and going, how can I parent better that helps what's going on in our household? And that's really hard to reflect on. Like, so kudos to you for like being able to reflect and go, well, yeah, I don't want her doing that for these reasons, but snatching it and saying no is not actually helpful.
Not at all, really.
Unless you want a rebellious teenager, which it sounds like she's heading towards anyway, because let's face it, teenage girls are super fun.
Well, Elise keeps saying to me, she's just too much like you. I'm like, yeah, I know. So scary. But yeah, they're my two dad wins, kind of, for the last few weeks.
Perfect.
So that's probably a wrap for today's catch up. Obviously, we've got a couple of guests lined up in the next couple of weeks for recording. So yeah, stay tuned, everyone, for the release of the next guests.
See ya.
Appreciate the listen to From One Dad to Another. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please email Shane Kelton @FOD2A.com.au.